The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God, I love you, and I love that you love us. God, the truth is that we can't love you without your love for us. It's your love through us that we give back in return. And God, we pray that as we discover more of who you are, more of how much you love us, we will see how you formed us and shaped us and created us and made us to be your instruments, God, to be your light in dark places, to be sharing your truth and your love with a world so desperate and searching for things that they're not even aware of. But God, you are the answer to all of everything. And we pray that you help us discover how we can share your truth and your love with this world. And be with us now. I pray that your Holy Spirit opens our heart to what we have to learn today. And God, let my words bring honor and glory to you and speak to our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So we started this series called, say it with me, Chazon. If you're going to say it like a Hebrew, you might have to put your hand in front of your face because you have to kind of hawk a loogie as you say it to say it right. Okay. So the CH means ha. Okay. So say it with me. Chazon. Very good. Some of you really need to go clear your throat now. Chazon. Now, what is this word all about? It's not calzone. That's something you eat in an Italian bakery. It's chazon. And what does this word mean? It is the Hebrew word for vision. Exactly. And God says without vision, the people will perish. God has a vision for you. He has a vision for me. He has a vision for our church. And as we as individuals discover how God has formed us, shaped us, made us, as we discover his vision for our lives, we can live the kind of life that he's calling us to live. And as each of us live the called life that he's called us to live, we will become the church together that he has called us to be. And the impact that he can have through us will be just magnified. And so my hope is that as your pastor, it's to help you discover how God has truly shaped you, how he has formed you. Each and every one of you is a precious child of God. If you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you receive four things that we're going to talk about today. When you become a child of God, there are four gifts that you get, and we're going to unpack those. So before we dive into that, we are a family. If you have considered Hope Hill Church to be your place where you're getting plugged in, we want you to see this like a family. My wife and I, Brandy, we do all we can to partner with each other, to encourage each other, and raising our children. We have a 19-year-old daughter now who, when she was young, my first child, I prayed as a kid, God, let me have a boy so I can play with Star Wars and G.I. Joe and all those cool things. And he gave me Jordan. And it was a blessing in disguise because she was a tomboy. We loved going in the woods. She loved shooting. I shouldn't say that in church, should I? Anyway, she loves the kind of things that I love. And God gifted her with some great abilities in the sports realm. As a young child, we discovered that she loved soccer. And so we poured into her life, helping her develop the gifts that God gave her. And as she began to excel in her giftedness, we taught her that no matter what we do all for the glory of God. So when you go out and play soccer, you play to the best of your ability. You play with the right attitude because even on the soccer field, you are called to be a missionary. You're called to be living for God even on the sidelines of a soccer field. And so as a seventh grader, she invited two friends from her soccer team. Before we even planted this church or even thought this church would ever exist, she invited these two girls, Sarah and Megan Gleason. She invited them to a youth retreat we were doing when I was a youth pastor at First Baptist Church. And that weekend, Sarah and Megan gave their heart to Christ. And it was because my daughter said, I'm a soccer player, but I'm a missionary. And the way she played brought honor and glory to Jesus. She shared with her friends her faith. She invited them into places where they would meet Jesus. And now they're her roommates at Liberty University, all pursuing God together. And with seven of those families from that soccer team, we planted Hope Hill Church. And it's all about discovering our gifts, no matter where you're gifted, God wants to use you to be the church where you're gifted. You don't just have to be a pastor or a missionary in order to live for God. God wants each of us to discover the way he's shaped us, made us, created us, and gifted us of how we can be the church in this world. In a building like this, sitting around teaching, encouraging each other, or as doctors, lawyers, athletes, wherever you eat, study, sleep, play, and shop, God has called you to be the church, to be a missionary sent by him, living for him. And so, as a family, like Brandy and I poured into our daughters, showing them how to use their gifts for God, we as a church want to show you, the individuals that make up this church, how to use your gifts for God. And each and every one of you, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you have accepted his salvation into your life, his forgiveness, then you have been gifted. And you may not realize it. You may not have yet discovered what those gifts are. And today I want to talk about that and help you take next steps to discover this giftedness. So first of all, the first gift that you receive when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you become a child of God and accept him as your Savior, you receive the gift of forgiveness. This is complete forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, confess means not just to admit it, but to believe that the way God sees it is right. God, I know this is wrong. I confess it. I admit it to you. When we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from some of our sins. Is that what it says? No. It says he will confess us from all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness. Jesus says, when you come to me, the blood that I shed on the cross will be used to wash you white as snow. Clean slate, starting over. Jesus, the scriptures tell us that when we are forgiven, our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Complete and total forgiveness is what God offers. That's the first gift. Now, yes, we live in a fallen, broken world. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. You were born into this world as sinners. Adam and Eve, they were created in a perfect environment. God said, okay, I'm putting you there. You can eat of whatever you want. Enjoy the life I've created for you. Do everything but one. Don't eat of this tree. And how many of you ever baked cookies and left them out on the counter and said, okay, little ones, don't touch the cookies, or okay, big ones, don't, and you came in and noticed somebody took a cookie. Has that ever happened? Adam and Eve took a cookie, okay? God said, don't eat of this. And through that act of disobedience, sin entered our world. The book of Romans chapter 5, Paul paints a picture of how through one man, Adam and Eve, through them, sin entered the world. But in the very same way, God now brings forgiveness through another man, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness for all who would receive him. Romans 5:15 says it like this, but the gift is not like the trespass. The gift is forgiveness. That's the gift being referred to. Trespass is a word for sin. The gift of forgiveness is not like our sin that brought sin into the world, the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, the sin of Adam, how much more did God's grace, grace is something we don't deserve, we don't earn it. God just freely gives this gift of grace, of this gift of forgiveness. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace, something we don't deserve, the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? We receive the gift of forgiveness when we become a child of God. You don't have to go get your life right first and then come to God. You can't get your life right. Apart from God, we're worthless. Now, I'd say that in the most loving way. But the truth is, without God, we're nothing. Our sins are filthy. They separate us from God. God is eternal. He is holy. And sin cannot be in his presence. And so he had to come up with an answer. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who freely laid down his life when he allowed himself to be hung on the cross. His life taken from him. He laid down his life. His blood was shed to forgive us of our sins. So that when we trust in him, when we put our faith in him, he makes us new. And that leads us to our second gift we receive. It's the gift of eternal life. Eternal life begins here and now. At the moment that you receive forgiveness, Jesus comes into your life to begin life anew, right here, right now. It doesn't start when you die one day and go to heaven. Oh, now my eternal life. No, it begins now. God wants to make you anew right here, right now. A Pharisee, a religious leader of the day, went to Jesus late at night. He didn't want to be seen by the others. And so he snuck out to Jesus late one night and he said, okay, I've been hearing you teach about the kingdom of heaven. I've been hearing you teach about God, and you say you're the Son of God. How do I get to go to heaven? And Jesus said, you have to be born again. I have to crawl into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? No, you have to be born once of water, but then also of spirit. You have to be born anew. You have to realize that here and now is your day to start anew. Salvation is here for you today. When you realize that apart from Christ, you are a sinner and you are apart from him, at the moment that you believe in your heart that Jesus died for us on the cross and you confess with your mouth that Jesus, you are my Lord, I am doomed without you. Then Jesus comes into our life and he gives us eternal life, which starts here and now. If we live life based on our own, we get what we deserve. In Romans 6:23, it says this, the wages, what's a wage? It's what you earn for work, right? Your wages. The wage of sin, what we get because of the sin in our life. We are all sinners, each and every one. And it doesn't matter how much sin is in your life. Because of sin, we deserve death. Physical, but even more important, spiritual death. Because of sin in our life, God is holy. We can't be in his presence. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if we have sin in our life, we can't have fellowship with God. We can't be connected with him. How many of you sin and have sin in your life? Raise your hand. Don't lie. You're in church. You're sinning now. Okay? Raise your hand. How many of you are sinners? Raise your hand. If you have sinned, I am a sinner. Okay? Paul said, Paul, the guy who wrote 13 books of the Bible, said, I'm the chief of all sinners. The things I know I shouldn't be doing, I keep doing. The things I know I should do, I can't get myself to do. What good am I? Where is my hope? My only hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ died to give me forgiveness, to forgive me of my sins. And Jesus comes to give us forgiveness. It says this, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, free, say free gift. Free gift. You can't earn it. You cannot earn gifts from God. God is a loving God, and he is here to give to each and every one of us freely. Any of us who will open our hearts to accept it, the gift is guaranteed to be taken. If I were to give you a gift today, what would you have to do with it? You'd have to accept it. You'd have to take it, and then you'd hopefully what? If it's wrapped, you'd open it, okay? It wouldn't be any good if I gave you a gift and a year later came over to your house and saw it in the corner still wrapped. That would be stupid. And the same way, we need to receive the gifts from God and we need to open them. The free gift of God is eternal life, and it's only made available through one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way, and through him we have this free gift of eternal life. The third gift we get is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God had this relationship with Adam and Eve. He spoke with them. He led them. They disobeyed, but he still forgave them, and he loved them, and he spoke through prophets. He spoke to the people, and the truth was is that the world just continued to go downhill. We would draw close to God, then do things our own way and fall away. We would draw close to God and beg for forgiveness, and then we'd go our own way. And finally, a time came when God said, I've got to go down there. I've got to go and pay for their sins. And so God became flesh. John chapter 1 tells us that God became flesh. Jesus moved into the neighborhood, and he who knew no sin became sin. He took on our sin. And he then lived for 33 years on this earth, showing us how to live, but more importantly, lived for one purpose, to die on a cross for us, to offer payment for us, for our sins. And then he said at the end of his 33 years of life, it's time for me to go and be with the Father, but I leave you behind. And he was talking to his closest friends, this group of disciples. There was about 120 of them, Acts chapter 1 and 2, if you want to read about it. There was about 120 standing there, and Jesus said, okay, I'm now sending you to continue this mission, but you have to wait, because you need something. You can't do it on your own. What is it that they needed? They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be able to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so they went and they waited. They went into this one room, 120 of them, must have been a good size room. But they were waiting and they were praying. And something weird that I can't wait to ask God to rewind the tape and show me how it looked. But in this weird way, as they were praying, the Bible says that this wind came. And something like tongues of fire appeared. What would a flaming tongue look like? That would be weird. Anyways, these tongues of fire came, and the Holy Spirit poured out from heaven, unlike any other time before, and started to fill the hearts of all believers. And from that day till now, when any of us put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to fill our hearts and to empower us to be what? His witnesses in our home in Jerusalem, in the outer areas in Judea, a little bit further out, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God is empowering us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. And when he comes and enables us, he gives us the fourth gift. Through the Holy Spirit, we get some special abilities. The fourth gift is spiritual gifts. And we want to help you discover what your spiritual gift is. On that day of Pentecost, there was this big festival going on in Jerusalem. These 120 people were waiting to be the witnesses that God called them to be. And as they went out that day, after this Holy Spirit power came, they began to proclaim the truths of God. And the way that this unique gift manifested itself on that day is as Peter and the others began telling the truth of who Jesus is, there were people from all the regions who all spoke different languages, from different cultures, from different tribes, from different nations. They were all there in the city, and Peter began to share in one language, and yet people were standing around going, how do you and I speak a different language, and yet we both understand what he's saying? And God gave Peter that day a unique ability to speak in tongues, some weird, different kind of language that all who were present could understand the truth of what was being said. Some didn't understand it, though, and they looked at Peter and the others, and they were like, wow, they're speaking gibberish. They must be drunk. And Peter and the others said, no, it's too early in the morning. We're not drunk yet. Go read it. That's what it says. God is here to give us the power of his Holy Spirit in our life, and with that power of the Holy Spirit comes gifts. It says this. First, Romans 5:5 says this, says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And then later in 1 Peter 4, it says this. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve who? God gives us and blesses us so that we can give gifts and blessings to others. God never gives you anything in life that you're just supposed to use on your own, on yourself. God blesses us to be a blessing. Each one of you should use whatever gift that he has given you, that he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And so here's what I want you to discover. First of all, how do we unwrap these gifts? If you've never received forgiveness, today is the best day to say, okay, God, I'm ready to receive your forgiveness. If you've never received the gift of eternal life, unwrap it today. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Even if you're not sure what you believe about all of this, take one step to God and he will help you understand the rest. Step into his arms and receive his salvation today. Receive his forgiveness. The third, as a believer, realize that the Holy Spirit's in me. And the Holy Spirit is here not just to be in you, but he's here to fill you. And begin to say, okay, God, show me how I can open up every area of my life to be filled by you. And then show me the fourth area, the gifts that you've given me. With several of our classes, right now there's an 11 o'clock class. There's about 20 people taking it. Today, right now, they're figuring out a first step to discovering what their spiritual gift is. These are four spiritual gifts tests that were done by some of our teens. And I'm excited to see what way some of our teens are gifted. We've got this young man named Evan. His first spiritual gift is discernment. He has the ability to tell if something's not really right or wrong, truth from lies, if a teaching is off. He also has the ability, spiritual giftedness, to serve kind of with outreach, missionary type stuff in the community. And he has a heart of compassion and faith. And what also popped up, what I didn't know about him, is music. God has gifted him with something for music. And as you go through these tests, you can get excited to see how God is gifting. And when we discover how God has gifted us, we begin to see how he can use us. And each and every one of you have gifts. We all are gifted. We're all equipped. We're all built with different ways, different unique abilities. And God wants us to realize that they're all important. When I was young, about the age of 14, I took one of these tests. And one of the things that stood out to me was this gift of prophecy. And I was like, what? Does that mean I can like tell fortunes and stuff? Well, that's kind of weird. That sounds weird. And prophecy, according to the scriptures, it could be that. There were prophets in the Old Testament who could declare, you know, this is what God is going to do. If you don't get your life right, this is coming. Sometimes it's obvious that if you don't, anyway. But prophecy, many times, is just forth-telling. Even at a young age, I had a desire to want to read God's word. I had a desire to want to teach other friends and talk about the things of God. I didn't call it teaching as a 14-year-old, but I loved being in the Word, and I loved talking about the Word with other people, and I believe that hopefully it's developing into a gift of teaching, and I hope you see it that way, but not everybody is gifted the same way. If I were to get up on stage and try to lead us in singing, you would quickly discover that's not my gift. But we need each and every gift. And we need to discover what those gifts are. So number one, the first thing you do is you discover your gifts. You begin the process of discovery. In our modern day, there are these spiritual gift tests. How many of you have not taken a spiritual gift test? Raise your hands. Leave them up. If you've never taken a spiritual gifts test, okay, you all need to get in one of our classes, okay? We want to help you discover them. It's kind of like going to a gym. When you go to a gym, oftentimes you'll be paired with a trainer, and they're going to say, what are your goals? And based on what you're hoping to do, the trainer will tell you how to get there. And the same way, we as a church want to help you with your spiritual goals. We want to help you with your spiritual growth, your spiritual journey. We want to help you discover your gifts. And so classes like the ones we're doing now, all our community groups are doing the study right now. The 11 o'clock hour, they're doing it right now. Tonight, Jim? You guys are doing it tonight at Pillar. There's a class that's going to be doing the spiritual gifts discovery test tonight. And if you can't make those, then we've got a place online to lead you to that will help you do it on your own online. But we want to help you discover your shape, the way God has given a chazon to you, your vision, so that you can discover his will for your life and begin living it. Discover your gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works through all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. For what? The common good. You have a gift, and as a part of this family of Hope Hill Church, you have a responsibility to share it with the others. You don't have the right just to sit there and keep your gift to yourself. God wants you to share, and we need to do it for the common good of one another. You are gifted to build up others, to encourage others, to help them discover their giftedness, to help them in their struggles. God gifted you so that you could share gifts with others. Let's go on. You got to be honest in evaluating yourself. I had to be honest and realize that even at a young age when I loved singing, I was put up on there with the youth choir one time, and I was given a solo, and they realized that was not my gift. And I had to be honest with they had to be honest with me, and sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. Is this my gift? No, it's not. But it would be better to know now than on national TV. Have you watched American Idol? We need to be honest with each other and honest with ourselves. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, 1 Corinthians 12 goes on to say. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of not one part, but many. The body has many parts. And sometimes you think that there are some parts of your body that are useless, like your pinky. But you know, if you were to chop your pinky off, you'd have a hard time balancing. That little digit down there, whatever it's called. Is it a digit? Anyway, if you were to chop your pinky off, your whole body would suffer, okay? because you wouldn't be able to keep balance. And there are some pinkies in this room. And you may just see yourself as a little pinky, but we need you. There are some pinkies, there are some hearts, there are some hands, there are some brains, and we need each and boy, we need brains, big time. But we need each and every one of you to fulfill the mission that God has called this body to fulfill. We need you to get on board, discover what your role and your responsibility and your gifts are, and start using them. Do not neglect your gift, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. These men, they came over this young man named Timothy. They prayed over him. They said, you are called to be a pastor, a shepherd. Do not neglect this. Teach men who will teach men who will teach men. Teach others. And he was told not to neglect that gift. In the same way, I'm telling you, you have gifts and you need to not neglect them. The second thing is you need to dedicate your gifts. God did not give you gifts to use on yourself. He gave them to use on others, and he gave you blessings and gifts so that you would worship God through using your gifts. When Jordan is excelling in her soccer playing, she is bringing glory to God. God looks down and looks at you. If you are a surfer, he looks down and says, wow, I created those waves. I created that person. Look at how well he's doing exactly what I created him to do. That is worship. When we are in the center of the zone of doing exactly what God created us to do, he is glorified and he is worshiped through our life. We're not just called to worship God with our songs, but the way we live. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When you use your gifts as God gifted you, you are worshiping him. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is like, yeah, whatever you have, use it on yourself. Use it to get to the top. Step on whoever you need to step on to get there. That's how the world thinks. But God says, don't do it as the world does. Realize, renew your mind. Transform your mind. Realize that I gave you gifts to use for my will, for my sake, for my glory. When I was young and discovered that I loved the Word of God and I had this gift of prophecy of being in God's Word and remembering it on the spot, I sometimes misused it. And I would tell friends, you know what, you're going to hell. And that was a misuse in the way I did it. In each of our giftedness, we can use them for our will or we can use them in wrong ways. And so I had to learn how to speak the truth in love. I had to learn how to talk with friends in a way that they would understand and accept the truth and not just be rejected by my holier-than-thou-ness. And in each of us, we have to dedicate the way we use our gifts to God so that he can be glorified through the way we use them. Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil or to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. We need to dedicate our gifts to God and use them for his service, not just ourselves. And the third area is we need to develop our gifts. Most gifts don't come, and as soon as you unwrap them, they're ready to be used. I get a lot of gifts from IKEA, and they need a lot of unwrapping and a lot of assembly. And the same way, many of the gifts that God gives us, we need to take time to understand them, to develop them, to have others help us put them together. But you have to start using them. You have to open them in order to start that process. 2 Timothy 1, 6-7 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. Did I ever tell you where the word power comes from? Dunamis is that word there. It's dynamite. That's powerful stuff. Holy Spirit gives you dynamite. Start using it, okay? Dynamite does not just sit there. God wants us to be powerful, to make an impact in this world. He gave you the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Romans 12 goes on to say, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. For what purpose? According to the grace given us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. Whatever gift God's given you, start using it. Develop it. Let it begin to blossom in our church. My hope is that this church environment will be a place where you discover your giftedness. One of our leaders, our hospitality members, Mike Conley, said he just did his spiritual gifts test. And you know what he scored lowest on? Hospitality. He's one of the leads of our hospitality team. I said, you're in the wrong place, Mike. And we want to help you. We want to be faithful to you as you discover your giftedness. We don't want to have you in the wrong place. Have you seen that video in our teachings, the guy aiming at the wrong target? I forget his name, but a couple years ago, there was an expert marksman in the Olympics. One more target hit, and he was assured the gold. He was ahead of everybody, and he aimed at the target. He was supposed to. He aimed at the target. He pulled the trigger. Bullseye. But whatever's supposed to happen when you do the right thing didn't happen, and he looked up and realized he hit his opponent's target. He was aiming at the wrong one, and he went from first place to eighth. He didn't even medal. A lot of us were aiming at the wrong target, and God wants us to begin to get in the zone of where he's really gifted us and used us, and we want to help you figure that out. So Mike Conley, we're redirecting him to start aiming at a different target. He's got gifts in other areas that he's discovering, and we want to help you discover what those gifts are as well. Let's pray. As you begin to think through what we've talked about today, my hope is that you realize that there are these four gifts sitting in front of you. And my hope is that they're not still wrapped. But if they are, and my hope is over these next moments, you would begin to unwrap those gifts. The first one of forgiveness. To realize that God has given you this gift. No matter what has happened in your life, he is here to offer complete loving forgiveness in your life. You don't have to go and get your life right first and get things right to earn his love. He's ready to take you right as you are to say, my child, I forgive you. Let's start anew today. The second gift is the gift of salvation. With forgiveness comes the ability to be made right with God. And God says, I now want to come in. I want to give you the third gift, the Holy Spirit. I want my Spirit to come and live in you, to lead you, to guide you, to shape you, to make you the person I made you to be. And my hope is that right now, right here, you will receive that gift of eternal life. You will receive that gift of salvation. Jesus died on a cross for us, paying for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, but also so that we could live for him. And as you receive the Holy Spirit, as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill the areas of your life that you maybe have had closed off to God, begin to ask God, God, open up my life. Open up this secret area that no one else knows about. I pray your Holy Spirit comes in and cleans that out. I pray your Holy Spirit comes in and brings forgiveness. I surrender that area to you, Lord Jesus. Come in and take over my life. I know that I'll be better off with you in control. Come in and take over. As you begin to open up those gifts, you'll discover that the last of the gifts that we talked about, that God has some special things for you to have that he wants you to use for him. And my hope is that you'll begin that process of discovery to figure out what those are. God, move in our midst right now. God, bring salvation, bring power, bring the moving of your Holy Spirit to begin that transforming process in our lives of making us the people you created us to be. God, I pray you move right here, right now, as we come before you.